Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this week's version of Raising Expectations. We're certainly glad you're here with us. And more than that, we're excited to share with you our guest today. Many, many, many of you have called and said, when is Janet going to be back with us? And tonight's the night. She'll be sharing tonight. We're going to start real quick just for time's sake for tonight. You know our team pretty much. You well know that we start on the West Coast in Lompoc, California, with Dr. Paul Hall, who's a retired pastor and a theologian. And you name it, Paul knows how to do it. He's a jack of all trades. He's a great guy. Yeah, he is ever. So, and he's there in Lompoc, California. And if we jump on the plane and fly all the way to the East Coast, a west part of, actually the south part of the East, it's back there somewhere right next to Georgia, and it's called Dalton, Georgia, and that is where you find Dr. Craig and Steph Thayer, and Thayer's the founder and CEO of Quenching Well. She's about the best health and wellness coach you'll find, because she works from the perspective of, you've got a physical body, what are you going to feed it, and a spiritual body, you got to know Jesus. And she works all the time sharing. Many, many people read her posts. Her husband, Dr. Craig, is a great surgeon, a trauma surgeon. I thought about him a lot, this being the day that it is, as we've talked about all day long. And we'll never forget 9/11. And I thought about Craig would have been the first guy in there helping everybody. So as we think about these things, Ron, if we come back to Texas, the Midwest, he's visiting family, and I tell you what, he's getting a vacation. It's exciting. He deserves it. He's a great guy. He's a pastor. He's a counselor with Men in the Mirror down in Florida, just south of Georgia, which is the southeast coast. And anyway, he is there. I'm going to get that someday and astound you guys. But anyway, he's keep praying, Steph. But he is on a great break with his whole family, and we love and appreciate him. And so we are here. So tonight you have the three Mouseketeers. The Mouseketeers were all guys. So you got two Mouseketeers and one lady of the castle. I guess we can do it that way tonight, because she is here and Steph is the best. So you're going to enjoy this. So tonight we've got for you, as you know, coming from Southern California, we have Janet back with us, Price, who is the president of Golden State Republican Women. And she's sharing and going to be interviewing and talking with us somewhat about the political changes and the spiritual input to those changes that are taking place right here in California. And you know what you're going to see? God is really working, and things are happening in the state. Prayers are being answered. There's just all kinds of things going on. And she's going to be sharing some of those things with us. So as she comes on tonight, we want to give her a great welcome, because she's leading that way with the ladies there and all the godly conservative people across this state for the great California comeback. And it's coming. So hang on to your hat. Good things are happening. So let's start with our applause around the world. A round of applause for Janet. Janet, we're glad you're here with us. We'll bring you on right now. There you are. Aww.
I just love that. I so love being with you guys. And
Stephanie's idea.
All that I've learned in this wonderful group. It's so refreshing to be here with you and not out in the world. Oh, good. I can sit down and I can talk to some people that are like-minded, and it's refreshing. It's like a little, I told Joe, it's like a Sabbath. It is really like a Sabbath. So, no, the world is crazy, but that's because it didn't have Jesus for a long, long, long time. So why are we surprised? We shouldn't be surprised at what's happening, because people have not been taught how to decipher truth from lies. And this whole movement here is the result of really decades of lies. And kids have been taught it in school, and we get it nonstop from the media. And so this is the result, but God wins. We read the back of the book.
Amen.
You know, who wins? So we just keep going through it and forward. Don't look back, just forward. And so this is even, every time I talk to you guys, it's gotten more intense. And it's like, how much more can, well, it can. So we are getting ready for our two big conventions. One is from the national, and that will be in Oklahoma City. And then the one here is the California State one. And my new group has been approved to be chartered under the CAGOP as a volunteer organization. So that's very good. And we're going to go down to Anaheim Marriott in a couple of weeks and just get the floor vote. But we're raring to go. We are raring to go, because I don't think there's ever been a time when California needs a group like ours any more than now.
That's right.
Really, it's desperate. It's desperate. So I'm not, it's not going to be divisive. It's going to be unifying. I want all of Republicans here in California to come together in unity and fight what we're fighting right now. But that's fine. We're ready. We're ready for it. Excited. Oh, this is Winston. I'm sorry. This is my big Labradoodle.
Oh, so he's like, hey.
So yeah. Cute. I know. Okay. I'll put you out. Let me just put him right here. Come here. Come here, bud.
Oh, he's a good guy. He's Dan. Yeah.
Well, he just, little bit of whining. So anyway, there is so much that has caught the attention of the media recently. And Charlie Kirk just put out, I think a couple of days ago, an article on NFRW, because the National is now not wanting to fight the legal fight if men want to join. So they're just hiding under the table. Oh, yeah, I'm not kidding. And yeah. So that was Charlie Kirk. And now Riley Gaines.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. She has just, she's got a podcast too. I didn't realize that. But she said, I think yesterday, she said, why would I want to belong to an organization? She's talking about NFRW that can't define who a woman is and what a woman is. So I'm standing firm here in California. We're writing our bylaws, and some people are pressing me. Oh, yeah, California is really going to make you have men. I'm saying, no. We started in the suffragette movement. That's where we are spawned from, the suffragettes. So, I mean, there are plenty of groups with men and women. There are plenty of groups for just men and for just women. But I don't apologize for that.
No.
I think this is just a movement designed to go scorched earth and take us all down. I'm not going to do it.
Amen. You hang in. Keep going.
Well, hang together or hang separately.
That's it.
I'm a little bit horrified by that, but I can't say that I'm completely shocked, because, you know, there are all these women that have fought for getting, I would call it as equal but different, because we are very different as men and women, and I'm grateful for that difference, and we should be. And if you've ever raised a little boy, and if you've ever raised a little girl, it's very obvious, right? But we've done all of these things for progress, and then we're giving all the women awards to men now.
It's absolutely insane.
Yeah, I just sit kind of in shock at it. And I happen to have a family member that's pretty high in sports law, and it's a female. And she just says it's unacceptable, you know, it, flat out. Like, you can just look at hormone levels and it's not acceptable. So I am really surprised that men would want to be part of the Republican women. Like, there's other groups for them.
That.
Yeah.
I don't know who it's driven by, but I don't think I can blame it on men. I think it is an organized effort.
Yes,
It's
that's what
coming
I'm thinking.
at us nationally. I mean, California doesn't hold the corner on this. It's coming at us everywhere, just to, and it's attacking our values. It's attacking our faith, our family, our freedoms. And that's the whole idea of this, which is why I will unapologetically stand where I am. And I mean, God had the best idea in the Garden of Eden. And we have managed to stay on this earth, and the world kept spinning with the two sexes since then. It's just when you think, you're right, Stephanie, just when you think you now have a handle on what they're attacking us on, they come around the other side and hit us with something new. It's nonstop. It's just nonstop.
C.S. Lewis made an observation one time. He said the evil travels in pairs.
Oh.
And he said, I thought it was really interesting. He said, we get so focused on fighting evil on the one front, and then it appears that they might be winning, and we start backing up and run into the evil that's behind us.
Find us.
And I think that's I think and what he said that during World War II. So I just think it's fascinating to see that truth never changes. It just never does. It just I heard one time that demons don't die, they just go to hell to regroup, and
That one
I believe
I love.
that
I
they
want to
do.
use
They
that one, Paul. May I use
Well, I think you should, please. Yeah, it's not original
one?
to me, but boy, I
Okay.
tell you, it's absolutely true. And it's so frustrating when we don't understand the nature of the battle. If we're afraid to engage, if we don't know who the enemy is, if we don't understand his tactics, if we are just absolutely vulnerable at that point. And I do believe that one of the enemy's favorite ploys is to redirect our attention and take us off of the main body. And well, I think you're right. A flanking exercise is one of the things the military uses and desires to use. Flank the enemy. Boy, have we been flanked, in many respects. Now, spiritually, I know we're not outflanked. I know that part. Okay, but those who are on the front line, those who are fighting the battle, like you, Janet, it's got to be overwhelmingly difficult
You
to
know, Paul,
share.
I don't. I'm sorry, Stephanie. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it wasn't me. It was Paul. Go say what you were going to say.
Okay. I was
Thank
just
you.
going to say that the whole thing would be overwhelming to me because it's been bang on one side, bang on the other side, then on the top, and then a meat grinder tenderizes me. And actually, I now have a great fondness for meat tenderizers because I understand the importance of them. But if I did not seek the Lord at the beginning of the day and give him the day, because he's already gotten up and walked it for me and said, come on, stay in the lane, you're safe. If I didn't believe that, I'd be a puddle on the floor. But I do. And I have gotten so much stronger, just depending on him. My circumstances have not gotten better. In fact, they've gotten markedly worse. But I feel it coming to a crescendo, and that's almost exciting when I see everything in the country, in Washington, in California, many other areas, but I mean, California's famous for it now. When it's coming to a head, people's eyes are opening. Now they can't help but see the lies that are out there and the hypocrisy that we've been taught to swallow and accept and never talk against. You know, just can't talk about it. Just don't talk about it. So I'm filled, I think I told you guys, I've used this term righteous indignation. I'm filled with conviction that this is the battle that we must engage in, that we have to engage in because time is short now. I mean, in God's world, who knows? You know, a day is a year is a whatever. But I feel for California, time is quite short politically. And that's why this group that I'm organizing is going to cast a wide tent, and it's going to bring all stripes of Republicans together, but we must share with the values. Okay, we must, I do draw the line there. We must share the values. Faith, family, freedom. Have to do it. And so it is an upside down world. And sometimes in the morning, I think, okay, and I got feet on the floor, head up. Gotta make sure I'm
Right.
standing.
You go. That's right. Well, faith, family, the values that Bible gives us, the values that have proven themselves, like you said, we couldn't agree more. That's what they're trying to do. Nothing's new under the sun. C.S. Lewis looked at all that. And you talk about faith, I always go back when you talk. Sometimes I think about this. Stephanie will say something, sometimes it'll come back, and I think, I don't know, Paul, which side of the fence we're on. I just never got on the fence side, because there are some people that everybody says Hebrews was written by a man, but Paul, but a lot of them think it was a woman, maybe Aquila and Priscilla, and who were the tent makers for Paul. And some people said it's so powerful because she wrote it. That's why I always say that's probably right. God makes ladies really smart. How am I doing, Steph? We're hanging there. But
A plus.
A plus, there you go. But truly, I think they want to get in where the ladies are sometimes, because God's going to give you special insight. And your stand that you're taking, in love, but standing in strength, is like Hebrews says, it's the evidence of things unseen. You can see what God's doing.
Go
You
through
don't
that
know
a
how
lot.
to do it, but He's doing it. Yeah. And they can't see it. So they're coming after the faith, destroy the faith, and discourage the people. And it was an old example of Paul and I remember years ago too, where they used to take out the castles, and they'd take out, even on the frontier, they would take out the forts. They would just take it out from the bottom by putting rats or inside the wall, and the rats would do the rest from there, right? Or termites in the fence if they were wood. And so they're planting termites everywhere, but they
That's
don't
right.
know. God's a great exterminator and a great bricklayer, so He knows what He's doing.
You know what I've noticed though is that Satan really hates women. He's
Yeah.
wanted to take women out from the beginning. I mean, Adam was first, and then God said he needs a helpmate, so let's take a rib.
To
But we
say
were.
that nice. Usually they say the guy was the prototype and it didn't work, so they brought the lady on, right? So they had to fix
He
that
was
up.
just making it gentle for
Yeah,
you.
that was a nice way to say it.
I
Thank you,
see.
Janet. That was nice. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just noticing now because we went through all those years of women's rights and we went through the Me Too movement, and everything has fallen to dust because it was a house of cards to begin with. It was based on lies to begin with. So now it's exposing itself. As women are being attacked in sports, they're being attacked every which way you can imagine with this transgender movement and all that. It's making a mockery out of womanhood, saying men can have babies. Are you insane? Yes, they are. I mean, I'll answer my own question. Yes, this is insanity that is running with this. And they're just hoping that we'll go along with it. But we won't. We're going to surprise them. We will not go an inch further.
They
This
think
is.
those suggestions will become law, like the 10 suggestions they may have. It's not quite the 10 commandments. And they really do believe that. They think if they can suggest everything and push it long enough, that we will buy it, because we've stood back and let them do it for so long.
This is
So
so true, Joe. It's kind of
far
like our
gone.
fault.
You know what I find really interesting about the topic, especially when we're talking about transgender, sort of that movement. It's a very, very tiny number, truly.
They don't want us to think that.
I know, and I have family and friends that are very opposite of my political and kind of moral values,
And I do too.
but
Yes.
they're ones that I can actually have a conversation with, because there's a lot that you can't. Some of them I can't, we all have those in our family too, but even those completely opposite of me in values think it makes no sense. They do, so I don't actually understand I mean, they're claiming it's on a Democrat side as the movement, but it's sort of its own rogue thing running amok. And I think Democrats aren't saying much because in some ways maybe it's helping their side, or but it's not really aligned with their values either. And so it just shows you that the loud screaming does have an impact, right?
Right.
Even if it's this tiny, tiny segment, and it seems like it's this massive group, and it's not.
Well, the megaphone is the media.
Right.
And they will stamp, double stamp anything that this group says. And I think it's not a values-based thing. I truly don't believe it's values-based. Mm-hmm. I think it's to destroy us.
Mm-hmm.
And this mm-hmm. is the whole purpose. Because if you look at it, it really is insane. I mean, that it's not logical. A doesn't go to B to C to D. You can't argue logic here. It's all emotion, but it's driven by the desire to absolutely erase the values of this country and this country. Yes. They want to take over.
That's what they're looking for. Yeah. Yeah. No values in it. They just want to be heard. And the louder they speak, the more they think they are. But we need to stand up. I think it hit me the most during the riots in Oregon, in Portland, Oregon, where the Mark Hatfield, who I respected, Senator Hatfield, and they burned down his civic center there. And I saw the flames around him then, and I thought, this is another perfect example. That's when I really woke up, seeing where these people are. It's terrible. You know, it is swinging. It is swinging around. People are getting sick of the nonsense. And exactly. They have to decide, am I sick of this? I think we're there. Then they have to go to the next step that says, okay, I am sick of it. Yes. What do I think I can do about it?
Mm-hmm.
What do I do? And if I'm willing to do it, what's it going to cost me to do what I think I need to do because I'm sick of what I finally decide I'm sick of? They're going to have to do the value that they're doing. And it's going to cost them. It's going to cost people. Look at the battering you've taken. I think the favorite thing you said one day was where you felt like the blender. Everybody just throwing
oh,
in
the Cuisinart. Yeah. I feel like I'm in a Cuisinart. And somebody pushed frappe.
Somebody pushed frappe.
Yeah, frappe is a lot.
That was a bad day. You had a rough day. But you know what? We have to take that. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And we
thank
need to
God for that.
I think we got led to be soft as Christians too much. And so we built a lot of big churches, and I was in them, and here we are, and look at us. And, you know, he says, yeah, we'll look at you, but in the meantime, we're going to do what we're going to do. And we had to stand up and say no. That's why I'm excited about what the group of ladies that you work with is doing. They're standing up into the wind, and they're going to get the attention. The logo, your new logo is beautiful.
Oh, I love it too. Thank you. We are excited about it. We've written new bylaws. I'm going to get people to support us, to give us seed money so we can get that bank account going. But mainly we're going to be down at the CAGOP convention. And actually all of the candidates are going to be down there. Donald Trump will be there, and Vivek, and all of them. Nikki Haley, I think every one of them will be there. So it's a big convention, but that's where we have to have a floor vote to accept Golden State Republican women. And I know this other little group that started this whole coup are going to be there and argue, but I'm going to be there and argue why California needs us.
Amen. You do it, Jen. There's the very heart that we're talking about. We started this. We were here. We started it. It's our group. And it's more important that our group does what we think we need to do than say the same. We don't want to do this. We don't pray. We're going to bend with these people. No, we're going to stand on the word of God. And you can interpret things in there if you want. We're not going to tell you what to do, but that's the word of God. We were saying the other day, it was even in Congress, the United States, as far back, they passed, I think it was 1852 or 72, where they said, there will never be a time in America where we do not teach the Bible as God's word throughout our public schools.
That's right. Did you send me that? I just read that somewhere.
Yeah, I might have said that to you. I was reading that somewhere.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was following the line through. And now we're not anywhere near that. Now we're more encouraged or excited about what people think we are. And there's the wicked heart of man the Bible speaks about. It's more important that you see me and I'm something than you love me and you show me to the world. I read an article. Oh, go ahead, Janet. Go ahead.
No. I want to hear the article.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was a brief one, but it was about a man. I wish I could think of his name. That he was in the 104th floor of the Twin Towers when it came in. Everybody made fun of him. He was a lawyer. He was well known. He was a lawyer, and he stood up for the word of God. He was a Christian, and they made fun of him. He wouldn't go to strip clubs and out and party with these guys when they came to New York because he didn't care about any of that. And he lived his witness to him. Living what he said was important. So anyway, the first plane, you know, hit about 90 on the 90th floor, I think, or 80th floor. And he was on the 104th, about 20 floors down. And as the heat began to rise, I mean, they realized when everybody stopped squealing, everybody was crying. And it was must. I can't even imagine.
I can't either.
I tried. But I can't.
Horrid.
He got up. Finally, Lord let him. He got up on the table. And he looked at everybody with their tears in their eyes, and he said, you know, I'm going to die, and I'm going to heaven. And he said, anybody want to go with me?
Wow.
All those people in that room began to pray, and he prayed from that table as it got hotter and hotter. And I don't know where they found this, what the record was. I guess they could still call it out. Uh-huh. And about almost all those folks committed their lives to Christ. Now, that's a little heavy. Evangelism for me, but I mean, if you stop and think about it, they were right there with. And did they know about all the tenets of the Bible? Did they know this and the other? No, but
no, it doesn't matter.
Across the left didn't know either. He looked over and said, "Well, I don't know why I'm in heaven, but I looked at the guy in the middle, and he said I could come." They prayed to receive Christ, and I mean, we got to get some backbone. What would we do in that
Absolutely.
Spot?
Well, what I think pastors aren't doing now is they're not preaching authoritatively on the word of God. Mm. I think they're preaching to the woke crowd to try to make friends, to try to keep young people in their church, instead of having spines of steel and preaching with God's authority.
Yes.
The word of God. They have all, it has all the authority in the world.
What he said, and that's what he did. Amen.
Yes,
I was just telling, I have a 15 and 17 year old sons at home, and in the morning we currently we're going through Case for Christ. I don't know if you remember that, but I have a kid that's very
mobile.
Very fact-based, and I was like, this is for you. And I said, do you know that crowds would gather by the thousands just to hear the Bible? No fancy preaching, like, and they would be mesmerized and they would not leave. And now we want to be entertained, right? We're looking for this entertainment. And what I keep hearing, and just personally, I didn't know this is what we were going to talk about specifically tonight, but I decided to do a fast of social media and actually the news, which is really hard for me because
I started to do that too.
Pay attention to what's happening culturally. Yes. But also the social media, I keep seeing more and more division. And honestly, I use social media for my business. So that was a big decision for me to do. But I thought, I'm going to do this for 30 days. And today has been my first day. And you know what? Every time I think, oh, I should check the social media, I've been playing either Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, or Acts. And I just start playing it on my Bible app. Nice. And it has been beautiful. And uh-huh. I think that we, this battle more than anything else, and it's not really them versus us, it's people have no idea how they're being used, and we need to know the word, and we need to know God's voice. And it's like what you're talking about, the authority. How can we know if it's him or the enemy or a distraction if we don't actually know how he shows up for us? If you haven't, like, I got my Bible out just in case, like, if you haven't been in this, how do you know?
You're easily fooled.
Easily. So easily.
So yeah, it's something that tickles the ears and, oh, that feels good. Oh, that sounds good. That's usually a lie. Mm-hmm. And it appeals to pride. I mean, when we remember, how did Satan fall from heaven? Through pride. It was the sin that grips all of us humans if we let it. But usually pride is so blind to itself. If you have pride, you cannot see you've got pride. Because that's the characteristic of pride, being blind to yourself.
So dangerous.
Yes. And so we have now a culture of narcissism, which I think is worse than COVID ever was. And the narcissists are rule. I mean, politics, Hollywood, even professors, and they think because they're talented or they're brilliant or they're beautiful or whatever, that they are at the top of the heap, and that just goes to pride, and then they become something so far away from God that that just puts you in the wrong direction, and it's very hard to get them back.
Well, let's go ahead, Steph.
Well, it's just funny how you were saying they can't see it. It's just like I was just at church. We were doing Saul and Paul. Like, he's blinded, right?
Right,
How many
right.
times in scripture do you think, see where, or like the blind man that is healed by Jesus? Like, there, I know it's a physical story that we're hearing about, but it's also metaphorical, because how many times are we blinded? And you're right, our society is very, very selfish, very selfish.
Right.
And I mean, I don't remember that so much growing up. It was very community-based. And I think if you go a generation back and a generation back, you'll see more and more
More
of
and
that.
more.
And we've gotten so away from that. And you can look at our birth rates. You can look
Yes.
at our marriage rates. You can, like,
Yes.
these scenarios don't work long term, by the way.
No,
So,
they don't. And that's
yeah.
the scorched earth policy. That's why I believe Satan is going after the family. He's in between men and women. So we don't procreate. So there is no future for the believers.
Yeah.
This is the plan. And
They
it's been going forward. Yes.
no, excuse me. What Steph was saying there, both of you, it brings back that old saying, it's so true. I don't read the you don't read the Bible. The Bible reads you. What does God talk?
That too.
How does God talk? He says, I know where your need is, and you begin to listen to the Bible, you read it. He says, right here. This is what I want to tell you, exactly what you're saying. And then all of a sudden, all the lights go off on the things that we think are so critical. What do we do? And all of a sudden, through it all, we see a pathway. And God says, this is where we're going. In California, it's never going to be one if it's one ego group against another ego group. If it's a look at me, Republicans, and I am this and that and the other, or if it's,
Right.
oh, well, you're not, I'm the Democrats, I've done all this and this. There's never going to be, it's going to have to be somebody like what you're doing, Janet, where you come along and you read the Word of God, just like Steph said, and like Paul always says this, one day at a time, you move forward a day at a time, and the power of God, the authority of God's Word works through you, and it just catches like a fire. And
Yes.
underneath, and both, they all start looking at each other. Well, hopefully, those people who have conservative values that come from what we're missing today will say, wait a minute, the key that turns on the conservative values that I remember and I almost forgot is the Word of God.
Yes.
Comes in.
Yes. I'm looking for another Jesus revolution right here.
Yes.
I am looking for it right here.
Okay, I do see revival happening with some of the younger kids. We're like in the buckle of the Bible Belt, but I do see across the country some of these teens in early 20s. I do think there is a movement of that, and I think it'll be small and it'll be very outspoken, and I think it can be profound. I'm excited, honestly, because of some of the young people I've been around.
That's wonderful. Well, we need it here in
Yeah,
California.
I
And
know.
when we talked the other day, Joe, weren't we talking about this big baptism that was down at Pirates Cove?
I told
Yeah, they did it again. I saw.
They did that, and they, the media is not covering this. No,
No.
they don't want us to know. And
No.
then there was one in front of, I think you were on with this too, there was one in front of Grauman's Chinese Theater in Hollywood. So huge, you couldn't get cars through there. They shut down the streets. And then there's one in Beverly Hills. It's happening all over. And I think the media is trying to keep the lid on the tea kettle, but it's not going to stay there.
Not going to stay. No, it's. I think there was 4,500. Paul, I think you mentioned it to me. Somebody there,
Yeah,
Pirates.
Pirates Cove. Yeah,
Pirates Cove, yeah.
4,500.
Was it Greg Laurie who started that?
Yes.
Yes.
Recently it was 4,500, or in
Yes.
the no,
Just
recently.
a week ago, I think.
It said you couldn't drive your car there, you couldn't find a place to park. It was incredible. But the media, it's blanket silence. Silence.
Oh,
see,
boy.
it shows how we are threatening them.
It's funny because everywhere I go, I run into people that are prophetic. There's movement of the Holy Spirit happening. They are preaching the Bible. Like, I actually think it's in a lot more places. It's just sort of this grassroots, because we really, the media giant, really, if you look at, the time they give to, say, an issue that you would be passionate about versus an issue you're not passionate about, it's going to be, 98 to 2,
Yeah,
right?
right.
It's very biased right now.
Yes. And so, like Joe said, if you tell a lie long enough, loud enough to enough people, you wear them down, then pretty soon they believe it. It's like, oh, okay, it must be true. Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of
It's
scary. Just having pastored for over 50 years and watching this and being in California, especially challenging. If we're not careful, when that happens, and I do believe it will, I believe God's Spirit's active and is moving in ways that we
Oh,
don't know. And
yes.
I believe that He most generally seems to be working upstream. I can't see it,
Oh, I
but
love
pretty
it.
soon here comes the water. I mean, He
Love
knows
that.
what He's doing. The tendency will be, and not to speak prophetically here, Steph, but speaking sadly, okay, the tendency will be when it happens, we'll set up committees and we'll study it and we'll try to
Sounds
analyze it
Presbyterian.
and we'll try to write books about it. You want your church to grow, you do these five to seven things, do these 15 things, and we will try to reproduce what we will try to reproduce and contain by our efforts the work of the Holy Spirit. And not that it can be contained, if you understand what I'm saying,
Oh,
but
exactly.
we will be so good at organizing it that it will be a death nail. And that's kind of scary because I've read church history. I try to stay in touch and see what's going on and try to understand it. Joe and I have talked about this often. We both went to the same college and went to the same seminary for a little while, and Joe ducked out and forsook me and went to Southwestern, in Fort Worth. But I stayed in Mill Valley, which is in San Francisco. And you want to talk about a microcosm of the world? I mean, and not that Fort Worth isn't, and I'm not criticizing Joe. That was a joke. But we've talked about how so much of the time we feel like we were shortchanged. Shortchanged in the sense of, I mean, let's face some real facts here. The Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. I mean, he is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. In my particular tradition, and in, Joe and I shared this together, this tradition, the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit was so minimized. With Jesus, we got that one, okay, God the Father. But to really just cooperate with what the Spirit was seeking to do and not worry about the criticism and not worry about oh, you're never going to go anywhere in the convention. Not that Joe and I either did, but I just think it's a dangerous thing when we lose sight of God's purpose. I mean, did they try to contain the Spirit in the upper room in Acts chapter 2 when it burst? No, they shared it. They just went out and said, you guys are drunk. Oh, no, we're not. No, we're not. It's not as you suppose. And to speak that kind of boldness, 3,000 people come to Jesus. Peter's an uneducated fisherman. I mean, my goodness, if we're willing to cooperate with what the Spirit's desiring to do and how He desires, I mean, boy, couldn't we use a cool wind blowing? I was reading today, not to dominate, but Kurt Schlichter. We've had him on our program a few times, but
Don't talk about
Kurt Schlichter, I don't know if you read his article on townhall.com today, but he
No, I
was
don't.
talking about he was talking about his time in service in the military, and he was saying, given the situation of the military today, he said, I'm not so sure I would sign up. He said, for those who do, I've got your back. I'll walk with you all the way. But he said, and this is a quote, I wrote this quote down, I thought it was interesting. He said, the unworthy among us have temporarily taken over. He said, the unworthy have gutted our institutions and worn those institutions as a skin suit demanding respect. And wow. That's, I think he's, you know,
that's
he's spot on in what he's talking about. And we certainly can't afford to lose hope. We can't, I know it endures forever, but boy, if the body of Christ could ever link up, you know, and
Amen.
Put aside some of our fight points and say, who do we serve? Who do we serve? Last point that I want to try to make here, and I'll shut up.
When I was
younger, my particular denomination looked at Catholics with a jaundiced eye, if that makes sense. You know,
oh, I remember that.
Obviously, I'm not that, you know, but one of my absolute favorite Roman Catholics was a man named Fulton Sheen. He was Archbishop Fulton
Bishop,
Sheen.
Bishop, I remember him.
And he made this statement, and I just think there's so much truth in this. He says, Satan has his hour, but God has his day, you know, and just to realize that Satan has his hour. He'll run amok for an hour, but God has his day, and to trust in that. And why does Satan fight so hard? Revelation chapter 12, verse 12 says, Satan knows that his time is short.
That's exactly what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
In the family, my daughter has been saying the reason all this is being kicked up right now is because Satan knows his time is short.
Mm-hmm.
He has to do all the damage he can while he can before God pulls the leash.
Absolutely.
He's not on a leash.
Right.
It says, all right, you're done.
I'm done. Oh, I'm done. I thought you were saying I'm done. Okay.
No.
I'll take it.
I was saying Satan is done.
I got you.
You're still wrong, brother.
I'm just having fun, Jenny. Thank you.
you're reminding me, though, of the Presbyterian Church where I was about how boxes – and study committees.
Yeah.
And the church that when I was working there 12 years was trying so much to be Willow Creek. Willow Creek, perhaps the pinnacle, according to my church. And we sent all of our pastors, go learn at Willow Creek, come back and make us Willow Creek.
Yeah.
You're right. This is not letting the Holy Spirit work.
Amen.
Right. One of the things I admired about Rick Warren at Saddleback, and I sat in a couple of conferences there, but he said, please don't go home and try to reproduce Saddleback. You know, please don't. He said, if you can get something that will help, that's fine. But God chose to do what he did, you know, at Saddleback, and God has chosen to do what he wants to do where you are. Just be available to him, you know. So
we are all bloom where we planted. Yes, go ahead.
And Sarah. Some of the most on fire pastors I've heard, because you know, we moved across the country. I'd go to this little church and this pastor was so full of God and life. And you know, like we aren't all called. I think our society, and this goes back to like you, Janet, maybe talk to one more woman tomorrow. Maybe the next day it's 20. Maybe you're at a conference and you get thousands. The one is impactful. It all matters. And we have these, you know, all these social tick and how many people, well, it's actually a very lonely place. The way that we make impact and change is in relationship. And that takes time and trust. You're not going to get that by the millions, right? And Rick Warren's a fantastic guy. And I remember being raised with all these things about certain denominations and believing they were true. And then the older I got, I realized how so much of that was not true, you know, but
me too.
It's true. If we can take down the fences and talk about what our basic non-negotiables are, come together on those, there's so much that we could do. And there's so much we should do because scripturally that's what we're called to.
Yes. But I don't get up in the daytime. See, I've changed a whole lot. God has really changed me. But I used to make my lists. And I used to be an addict of my lists, and I had all of that done if the day was to be successful. Well, I have torn up my list. I mean, now my life, I probably need them more than ever, but I don't do it because I let God be my admin assistant.
Please.
You make my day. You go ahead and you tell me what phone calls to answer and where to go and what to do, because I just turn the day over to him. And there's always enough time for me to do what he thinks is important.
Amen.
I
That's
love
it.
that. God be my admin assistant. I wrote that
Yeah,
down. I don't mean
Fabulous.
that. You know what I mean? That's
Yeah,
not.
no, that's good. He said, I'm right here for you. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm right here.
That's right.
So
And I
we're
need that
looking.
because it is just, this is an incredibly mind-blowing time if you aren't centered. And the only reason I think I can still go through day by day by day is letting God center me. I say, okay, make me your tool. And my brain just make it go tabula rasa. I don't want any of my thoughts in my brain. I want your word in my brain. I want
Amen.
your word in my mouth when I speak to others, only your word. And I want my heart to reflect the heart of Jesus. So if
Amen.
I'm just prepared that way, he can
Can I put
use
a sticker on that, Janet? That is so good. Can I put just a caboose on your train? That was great. Paul and I have talked about this a lot of times too. God, help me to unlearn some of the things I have learned, or to realize it was for a time and a place and a season, and the season is new and the season is victorious, and you will be glorified. Help me to do what Janet just said. Teach me, Lord. And the greatest thing I can learn at my age is that I've got so much more to learn. So turn off the media, get into the Word, like Steph said, every day, and let God read me. How? By looking at me, He can look inside me, but God reads me through His Word. That's right. He reads me right through His book. So, man, that was good, Janet. That was good. I tell you,
my life. This shows just how, God has changed me. All of us have a story.
this is why people want to hear raising expectations. They look forward to hearing things like what you shared there and what Paul was sharing. We are all growing, and God knows exactly what He's doing. So why don't we let Him
Let
and
him.
join in? Yeah,
Let him.
yeah. We guess. Go ahead.
I think we were talking the other night, John. I don't remember, but I said, remember cotillion. And when we were in cotillion, and sometime, you'd have to dance with a boy, and I would be accused of leading. The boy would say to me, you're leading here, Janet. So I'm going, okay, I'm going to let God lead.
Amen.
When
That's
I
right.
get up, he sets the dance, I follow it, and he
And
leads.
the only difference, he may step on your toes, but it'll be a good thing.
That
He
is true.
wants to step on your toes.
Stop
Yeah,
us
don't
from
try
doing
it.
something.
Yeah,
That
hey,
is
Steph,
very true.
can you give us a golden A attack? We have a handful of people that support us so well. Always thank them. And just can you give us the 30-second one here, real
Oh,
quick?
sure. We're just grateful that you guys are here, that you join us, that you comment, that you reach out. We really, really appreciate that. You can stay in the loop in everything that we're doing at bbsradio.com/raising expectations. There it is. At the top, there's how you can give. We have a nifty QR code. You just put your little phone up to it and it'll pop it right where you need to go and give a donation. You can also give at PayPal. It takes money to do these things, and we appreciate anything that you can give and donate to help us get the word out. And you can scroll down, you can learn about each co-host. There's a couple of books from Pastor Joe, from my husband, past shows, all kinds of great content in there. Our past guests are amazing. You should be following them on their websites, on their social media, all those different things. There's Joe's book,
Joe's
there's
book.
Craig's book.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
We're on pretty much all the major platforms. You can find us there as well. I wanted to ask Janet, how do we stay connected with your women's group?
Golden State.
We're going to have our website up on the 20th. What's today? 10th.
The 11th. So we have 9 days.
11. So
11th. I'm
8,
sorry.
9
I'm
days.
sorry. Of course. Of course. I had a Zoom yesterday. So I'm thinking. Anyway, thank you for asking that, Stephanie. We're going to have our website up on the 20th. We've already had our planning meeting in Fresno, so we've got a lot already laid down. We've been accepted by the CAGOP to be a volunteer organization and loosely chartered under them. We'll have our own bylaws and all that. But I'm very excited because I think God is preparing California for something new. He wanted to clean out the old. We needed a big cleaning out here in California.
And when you get that set, Janet, excuse me real quick, because yes. I'm getting all the signals. We've got to start running out, but we will put that, if with your permission, on our website, and we'll put it in that section on the page so people come here, they'll find you on the page.
Thank you. That. I would so love that. I'm going to have a trifold. I'll send you that.
All right, we'll get it all on there. I will get it there, my friend. That's going to be great. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much. I don't know. You must have fed your clocks forward somehow because the time went by too quick. But anyway, Paul, bless you, brother. Love you, man. Steph, love you. And Tank, give him a big hug for me. And we'll give him a hug when we see him. And Steph, what's he going to say? Oh, well, we ran out of time. Janet, bless and keep you, my friend, okay? We'll talk
to you
soon.
And all of you. Bless all of you for all you do.
Amen. God bless.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556. Or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.